You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 16, and yes, I'm your host, Anne Marie Cross, brand and communication strategist, also known as the podcasting queen. Now, ever stopped yourself from believing that something was possible because for one reason or another? Well, my guest today truly believes that if you put God first, and having faith in the provider of all, along with hard work and tenacity, then it's never too late to be great. And join me on today's show is Tina A. Hobson. She is a 6-times international best-selling author. She speaks publicly and she advocates for women's rights, including prevention of drug abuse and domestic violence. And Tina believes that her deliverance from alcohol and drugs is the greatest asset that she has to offer the world. And she's presently the producer and hostess of I Am a Superwoman Radio Network. And as a licensed social worker, she works in the state of Ohio. And she was also an officer with Toastmasters International. Tina resides in Maple Heights, Ohio, where she operates her business. She's a proud mother of 3, grandmother of 3, and great-grandmother of 3. Wow. Now, on today's show, Tina is going to share, when you put God first, all things are possible. It's never too late to be great. She has learned that no matter how low you go in life, that Jesus loves you and Jesus loves her. And she's going to share that. And of course, her testimony can be a hope for us all. So welcome to the show, Tina.
Well, Anne Marie, thank you so much for having me. It is a pure honor. Thank you.
Oh, look, my pleasure. And thank you for sharing your story and being a light in the world, particularly, I think, for where you are able to share your own journey. Many women are struggling with this too. So, you know, for people and such as yourself who are willing to share their story and their journey of hope and where you get your strength from, it's an honor to be able to provide this platform for you to share that story. So Tina, take us back to what was going on for you, and then we'd love to then follow that transition to where you are now. But take us back to what was happening and really that crux point of when you decided, you know what, enough is enough. I need to turn this around.
Wow. I'm glad you didn't tell me to go all the way back, but I have to go back just a little bit, to let you know what type of person I was and how those shortcomings and how those character defects, some people, well, should we call them sins, you know, got me to where I was until God delivered me and put me back on track to where He wanted me in the first place. Mm-hmm. But I was, you know, at a very young age, I was residing in Chicago with my aunt and my uncle, and at the age of 12, she passed away. I knew nothing about death. All I knew is she was my best friend. Mm. That's all I knew, was that she was there for me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I could always depend on her. Mm. She loved me, and I loved her, and there was never a doubt about it. Nobody could ever say anything different about her. Nobody could criticize her, nor could anybody criticize or say anything about me. That's just how close we were. Mm-hmm. And when she passed away, my whole world crumbled. And during that era, I'm a baby boomer, of course. No one asked me how I felt. Mm-hmm. No one asked me what was going on. You know, why was I crying, or why was I sitting alone, or, you know, nobody asked me anything. I just felt so alone. I felt so rejected. I felt just abandoned. Mm. And it was at that time where I made a decision, because she, like I said, Anne Marie, she was always there. I was, I was spoiled rotten. Okay. It's just the truth. I was. But it was okay because she let me be. But she was still firm enough that, you know, I still made perfect grades in school. Mm-hmm. You know, she sent me to church. I still had to do the right things. No matter how selfish, self-centered, spoiled, rotten I was, I still was taught right from wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was taught how to stay in a child's place, especially specifically when there were other adults around. Okay. You never, ever showed out in front of other adults. That was a big no-no. And I knew that, so I didn't. Mm-hmm. But it was after her passing, and it would be, that was in 1966. So we're talking about 55 years. It's been a long time, 60 something years. And so I made a conscious decision at that time that I was going to run my own life. I had it in my head that nobody loved me. Anybody who did love me would be taken away from me. Now, mind you, this was the first death that I had encountered. Mm-hmm. However, my mom, my grandmother, and my younger brother stayed. They lived in Ohio, mm-hmm. and I lived in Chicago. I was sent, when my brother was born, I was sent to Chicago to stay with my uncle and my aunt. And as much as I wondered why, as much as I wanted to know who my dad was, as much as I wanted to know why, when the visits were over, they would go back to Ohio as a family and I got left behind, I still loved my aunt. I still, and my uncle was there, and it wasn't that I didn't love him, but I just loved her more. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just loved her more because she was always in the house. So having said that I was going to take control of my own life, God has a sense of humor. He said, okay, let me see you do it. Mm-hmm. And I made such a big mess of it, Anne Marie. There was drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, just everything negative that you could think of, you know, stealing, you know, everything that was against all the principles and morals and values that I had been taught. Those were the things that I did. That lasted until I was 36 years old. And at the age of 36, I'm going to assume that God said enough is enough. Mm-hmm. He said enough is enough. And what he did, he sat me down. He sat me down. He said, you're not going to try to commit suicide anymore. You're not going to try to drink yourself to death anymore. You're not going to OD on drugs again. You're not going to, you know, put yourself in situations where you could have a sexually transmitted disease that doesn't have a cure. You're going to acknowledge that you have children. You're going to acknowledge that you know how to be a productive citizen, mm-hmm. and you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I'm going to help you. He sat me down in a mental institution. Mm-hmm. And it was in that mental institution where I acknowledged God again for the first time since the age of 12. And it was in that acknowledging that I was able to allow him to turn me around. Mm-hmm. I'm in this mental institution, and as much as I said I didn't want to be there, the doors weren't locked. I could have left any time, mm-hmm. but I didn't. I didn't. Because honestly, I felt safe. I was getting three meals a day. I had a real bed to sleep in. I had drugs and alcohol had taken all of that away from me. It had taken everything away from me. And for once, there was hot water that I was willing to bathe in. You know, I had not done that. You could literally scrape dirt off of my skin. That's how long I had actually taken a shower or taken a bath. It was not a pretty picture, not at all. But like the title of my first book says, "Oh, How He Loves Me, Reflections of God's Love for Me and for You." And it's basically an autobiography. Mm-hmm. It talks about that journey that I took from childhood until even after being delivered. You know, I was a part of a 12-step program, and I'm not, Lord knows I don't have anything against it, because it was there for me when I needed it, mm-hmm. and it helped to save me, and I know God sent me there for a reason, you know, but it got to a point where God gave me another assignment, and it was not in the rooms of 12 steps. It was outside in the community. And I needed to, you know, I needed to spread my wings. I needed to tell people who didn't know anything about addiction, mm-hmm. okay? Everybody in AA, they already knew. So I needed to talk to people who didn't know, who didn't understand why they were doing the things that they were doing and why they were continuing to do the same things insane and not get better results. You know, all people I know, they say, well, insanity is doing the same thing and getting different results. No, insanity is doing things, the same things, and expecting better results.
Yeah.
You don't want the same thing. You're trying to do something better.
Yeah.
So God gives me these little tidbits of insight and of inspiration and tells me, you know, different ways to look at life. Like people said, "Oh, I just love you to death." I'm like, "Don't love me to death. Love me to life. Mm. Love me. don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Don't love me to death. Love me to life."
Tina, I'm going to jump in there because the story that you've just shared, thank you, because I think explaining the situation where you were really struggling and it came to a point where it was like something had to change, and thank goodness. And as we know, God is a gracious God, and for his loved ones, he will never let us go. Yes, he may allow us to go through and we have free will, but every now and again he goes, enough is enough. And thank the Lord that happened. Speak a little bit around, you know, once you did start to recommit again, and as we know, when we lean in and the insights that he gives us, because one of the things that often happens, even as Christians, when we have lived a life of, you know, which could have been better choices, one of the things that will often happen and keep us stuck in that addiction is that of guilt and shame. And two things that we know as Christians that we do not need to feel any shame, any guilt, because we are forgiven. When we ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven, and all of that is forgotten because of, you know, Jesus. Speak a little bit around that, and in your journey, was that something that you needed to remind yourself of over, you know, again and again? Or was for you, once that identity changed and you could feel really, you know, the Holy Spirit working in your life, that you found that journey wasn't so much of a struggle for you? Does that make sense?
No, I still felt those feelings of guilt and pain and shame. You know, I had children and they were just about adults by the time I got clean and sober when I was delivered. And but I still had those feelings of I'm not good enough for them. You know, I guess my mind was speaking to me on their behalf that, you know, they were still angry at me, which they were, you know, but I exaggerated it. You know, I still didn't go around them a lot because I was still embarrassed because they had friends who knew what I was doing and they knew. And having to face them and face myself, because I hadn't totally looked at myself in the mirror and forgiven myself. So I wasn't expecting them to forgive me. And it took some time. It took some time. The boys, I've got the two boys and a daughter. The boys were able to, I think they were able to hide the pain more than my daughter was. She lashed out. She was so angry, so angry with me. Today is so different. It's so different. And it got to the point where I didn't do it on my own. I don't even think I made a conscious effort to just stick in there, to stick and stay and not go anywhere, no matter what I thought, no matter what I thought about myself, no matter what I thought they thought about me. I still stayed and it got better. Yeah. And it got better.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for sharing that, because so often we, you know, we limit our identity, and as we know, Jesus forgives and he will continue to forgive, you know, because we're not perfect at all. And it is very difficult when we do go through situations and it does impact, you know, the people, our children, our grandchildren, whoever it is, are people that are close to us and love us. And one of the things that we've said in previous shows too, is that whoever we are, wherever we are, in whatever stage we're at life, we do the best we can with the resources available to us. But thankfully, you know, we have a God that loves us and that does forgive us, and that we don't have to carry around the guilt, the shame. We can just let that go and then allow God to recreate our identity through Jesus. And of course, this is what you have done. And so, you know, thankfully now you're sharing that and being the light for others who are struggling. So you say, when you put God first, all things are possible. It's never too late to be great. Fast forward, if you would, to what is life for you now? How are you impacting others? What does the life of Tina now look like?
Oh my God, Anne-Marie, where I was homeless, now I'm a homeowner.
Wow.
Where when I came, when I was delivered, I'm not going to say uneducated, because when I was in school, even in elementary school, junior high, and part of high school, I always made good grades. Mm-hmm. But now I have a bachelor's degree. I have a license in social work. I didn't feel loved today. I show people to the best of my ability how they can love themselves, mm-hmm. because that's so important. That's so very important. So all of those things that I wasn't then, I am now. And this all happened after the age of 36.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, through the years from 36 to 60, I'm going to school, I'm getting degrees, I'm working, you know, I'm making the best of a situation. Every day wasn't peaches and cream. Those roses had a lot of thorns. Mm-hmm. You know, I made a lot of mistakes. So I never let anybody think that my life has just been peachy keen, because I've been in debt. I've gone bankrupt. It's a wonder I've never been evicted from anywhere, mm-hmm. but that was just by God's grace, come to think of it, mm-hmm. because I should have been. So, you know, I no longer put myself in, you know, dangerous situations. And today, When I turned 60 years old, God started really speaking to me. And not that he wasn't speaking before, but I could hear him speaking through other people a little bit better than I could hear him speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, the message came through.
Yeah.
But now at the age of 60, I'm hearing him loud and clear, and he's giving me assignments. He's giving me jobs to do. He's giving me, positions to take. Even now, I've been with, oh my God, numerous multi-level marketing companies, Avon, Amway, just you name them, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
But he told me that, no, you're not doing what I asked you to do. He said, you're still making money for other people. I want you to do this. I want you to have your own. And so at the age of 60, he started me with the radio, with my internet radio station. And I didn't have a clue. Mm-hmm. I still don't have a clue some days. But he said, just follow me. It's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And having followed him, I've won 4 awards, a Spreaker Award, an Ursa Award, and I've been nominated for several different awards. And just recently in Atlanta in October, I won 2 Spin Awards for Best Radio Station and Best Co-host. I was co-hosting on another internet station with a very good friend of mine. And I won the co-host of the year on that show. And that's what he was telling me. And at the age of 60, and this is where I got the motto, is never too late to be great. That's when he had me, when he put people in my life to take me down that path of authorship.
Yes.
I started writing at the age of 60. And all of the books I've co-authored I've co-authored 3, and the next one I've got coming out on Valentine's Day will be 3 that I've, written on my own.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so
all not really knowing what you're doing, and it's just with faith, stepping out, taking the next step. And how often we're reminded that when we don't know the whole path, and let's face it, we would love to have a map with all of the steps and go left, right, go right, but often it's not there. And it's with the faith, when we step out in faith, incredible things can happen. One other thing, and thank you for sharing that, because it really does confirm that no matter what age we're at, no matter what situations we have struggled with over our life, and I firmly believe this, and so it's coming it's been shown through all of the guests that I've spoken to in your show 15, that for the people who really have struggled and gone to the depths of despair, that when they really put their faith and trust in Jesus and allow him to work through their lives, that they are built in them a strength, which obviously comes from him, but their, and we've heard this term before, your mess becomes your message. And often it's in that time that he's strengthening in you and building in you the character, the attitude, the approach, that you can then go and speak into the lives of other people who are struggling. And that's what you're doing now. I mean, how many people struggle with addiction, struggle with guilt and shame, no matter, what's going on in their life. But as you're here as testament to show, that is not who you are. That's not your identity. But, an incredible identity that you now have and impacting the lives of many people. If someone's listening today, Tina, and for many people that will be listening, they probably are Christian, maybe in business or thinking of starting a business, and maybe some people that perhaps are not, yet don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. If you think back to when you were still struggling and you had not yet really committed and, Lord, you just need to take over this because what I'm doing ain't working, what would you have to say to them if they're at the, you know, the precipice or right at the cusp of just, you know what, I just give up. What would you say to them?
Oh, my goodness. Walk through the fear. Don't let the fear of the unknown, because that's basically what it is. Mm. You don't know what's on the other side of that fence. You know that this side is ugly and is brutal and is bloody and is messy, but is the other side worse? You know, don't worry about it. Walk through it. Let that fear be a motivator to go where and be where you want to be. Because in all actuality, it usually can't get, at that point, I don't think it could have gotten any worse for me, you know, because I had experienced, you know, a day or two here in jail. I had experienced, you know, the overdoses. I experienced, you know, rapes and all of that, the suicide attempts. So it really, 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 when I think about it now, death would have been a relief. A lot of people say, well, you know, addicts aren't even afraid of death. Well, let me tell you, no, they're not. Because at a certain point, they'd rather be dead than to be alive.
Yeah. And of course, as we know, as Christians, there is life after death. And, you know, the choices that we make in this life is going to certainly impact what happens to us. And so thank God that, you know, he was really there. And I think what has come through, and I just want to reiterate that for people who are listening and watching today, is that so often we assume that our identity is in what happened to us, you know, as a young child, you know, loss of parents, loss of beautiful auntie who, you know, you just loved and adored and who loved and adored you. And from that time, your whole identity, your whole self, your self-worth changed. However, now it's come full circle and you're reminded again, and I want to remind everybody that, you know, sometimes we're told lies and we know that we have an enemy that likes to tell us that we're no good, that we don't have anything to offer, that we're not loved, that we are abandoned, that we are rejected. I just want to tell everybody that that is a load of BS. Because we are loved. I mean, we are so loved. And whether you believe in Jesus or not, history says there was a man that came to this earth and he died on a cross. And he loved you so much that he died for you. And that is who your identity is. And I think now when you look at your identity, you realize that, yes, on our own, our identity can only is so, you know, but we're not abandoned, we're not rejected, we are not unloved, but so loved. And I'm sure you feel that every day. Yes, Tina?
I feel it, you know, and as you were talking, I really felt something go through me. If I had succeeded in killing myself, I would have actually killed a part of my creator. That you don't know. I just felt that go through me as you were talking. And it was like, wow, you know, that would have been the worst thing that I could have ever, ever done. And to not that I would have, I don't know what would have been on the other side if I had felt guilt or shame. But now I don't have to worry about it.
No.
I don't have to worry about what's on the other side of that fence. I don't have to worry about the fear, the shame, the guilt. That has been eliminated. And that's what my second book talks about, DNR, Do Not Resuscitate. And these are 10 things, and it's going to be actually a series of things or traits that I would no longer tolerate. The low self-esteem, you know, worrying about what people think about me, you know, those who want to remind me of what I, and who I used to be. You don't need to tell me what I used to do. Mm-hmm. You don't have to tell me what I used to be. I was there. I know. You know.
Been there, done that, never doing that again.
No. And in fact, when are you going to stop?
Yeah.
Because I know misery loves company, and you would rather see me back doing what you're doing than me doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the other chapters is self-condemnation. I've condemned myself enough. Mm-hmm. I will not breathe another self-condemnation breath again. And if I do, at least I know how to change it.
Yes.
As soon as it, you know, I can flip it around as soon as it happens. Mm-hmm. I don't have to live in it. Mm-hmm. So both of these books are very, very, I mean, they're self-help for me.
Yes.
I actually wrote them for me. They just happened to go out in the universe. And my God, this third one, the next one is relationships as they are, or are they? Mm-hmm. The truth and nothing but the truth. And it has nothing to do with sexual relationships. It has everything to do with my relationship with God, my relationship with myself, all other types of relationships. In fact, my 9-year, not only is, and are you never too late to be great, it's never too young, you're never too young to be great. My 9-year-old niece, Mariah, she had seen bullying in school, and she wrote about it. So her writing is a chapter in the book.
Wow.
So she, that book is from one extreme to another, from one age range to the other. And I'm very, very, very proud of her. And she's so excited.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Amazing how even from such a young age, you know, your story can certainly impact many lives. And it's so important to get out there. So, Tina, what is the best way that we can connect with you, that we can get a copy of your books?
Well, all of the books are, you can just go to Tina Hobson on Amazon.com, or better yet, my publishing company, my publisher, mm-hmm. HeartCenteredWomen.com. HeartCenteredWomen.com. I forgot that we have our own, you know, publisher. We have our own bookmaker and all of that good stuff now. So you can buy the books directly from us.
Fabulous.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to speak with me as far as speaking engagements, maybe you want to inbox me, you just want to talk. That's okay. I'm Tina Hobson on Facebook, Tina A. Hobson, or I'm author Tina Hobson, or I am a superwoman on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm just everywhere. I just make myself available mm-hmm. to anybody who needs to talk.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you so much. And, of course, we'll put all of Tina's contact details on our show notes, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE16, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE16. This is show 16. And certainly reach out and connect with her. Tina, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing your story. I know many people are struggling with addiction and some of the things, you know, that you've walked in your journey, and your proof that you really can come out the other end. And not only that, but all of those dreams that you've had or maybe that you've kept hidden can certainly come true fruition when you put God first and you hand it over to Him, and amazing things. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. And just one more thing, and I always say, the streets, the city streets are a lot safer now that I'm clean and sober and have been delivered. You don't have to worry about me doing anything to you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. And so one of the things that I'll just share, Tina, for those people who are listening,